Blog Talk Radio.
It's Tim Jacquet with Apple Capital Group. Today program, I'm on the phone with Ken Fogg, who is the chair of the local Dallas chapter of SCORE. Mr. Fogg, are you there?
I'm here. Happy to be here.
Thank you. I appreciate you joining the show this afternoon. I guess I'm going to begin with is talk about, I guess, your background in business and how you came to discover SCORE.
Okay, it's a real. I think it's an interesting story. I'm a lifelong CPA. Spent my entire professional career in the practice of public accounting in various forms, whether it be with large international CPA firms or over the last 25 years as a sole practitioner. I first learned about SCORE back in the early 70s when I was working with a firm headquartered in downtown Dallas, and I read a Wall Street Journal article about an organization called the Service Corps of Retired Executives, which is now known as SCORE. And at that time, I was a relatively young aspiring professional, and I thought someday I would like to do that.
Wow.
And someday it came to me in the fall of 2009 when I had an opportunity to sit in on some counseling sessions, and I found that this was something that I really was ideally suited to try to do, and it gave me a wonderful opportunity to give something back to the community in a very meaningful way.
Wow. Well, thank you on that. Talking about SCORE in general, mainly you guys assist new people, businesses, or individuals who wants to be in business themselves. And can you tell me about, to begin with, how does SCORE play a part or partnership with the SBA?
Well, we are what is known as a resource partner with the Small Business Administration, and that basically means that we, along with other similar organizations, work in conjunction with the Small Business Administration to try to respond to the varying needs of small businesses. And there is actually a definition of what constitutes a small business, which may surprise people, but it's an organization that has something like less than $100 million in sales and less than 500 employees. Now, we think of small business as being something that's much smaller than that.
Mm-hmm.
But what we try to do is we try to be a resource to anyone who comes to us, usually through some referral by the Small Business Administration, possibly sometimes by bankers who are involved in so-called SBA lending programs. And whatever those potential client circumstances are, we try to respond to their needs by committing human resources with expertise in the areas that they're especially interested in trying to receive guidance.
Okay. And are you funded by the SBA, or overall they kind of take care of your operation and you guys go in and volunteer, or how's that done?
We are a total volunteer force. That means that with the exception of our administrative people in Herndon, Virginia, which is our national headquarters,
mm-hmm.
Virtually everybody else in the organization is a volunteer. And at the present time, we estimate that we have something like 13,000 volunteers who are involved with the various SCORE offices around the country, and there are approximately 360 chapters, which may translate into a lot more offices than that. For example, in Dallas, we have 17 satellite offices that are connected with our main office. And so what we try to do is to through that volunteer organization cobble together the resources, the human resources and the expertise that we need to try to respond to the needs of our clients. But it's a service which is totally free to our clientele. Everything that we learn from our clients is held in the strictest of confidence, and the clients are encouraged to seek our wisdom, our mentoring, as often as they need to, until they get to a point where they're comfortable with what they're trying to do.
Okay. And in the course of your mentoring, I guess a person will call up your local office, make an appointment. With the mentoring itself, they sit down and consult with you, and you hold a hand as they go through this process of starting up. How does that normally work?
Well, that's usually the way we're initially contacted. The potential client is most likely to be inspired to contact SCORE as a result of one of several ways, and maybe a combination of ways. It might be through word of mouth. It might be because that individual or company has been in conversation with a local banking institution, and they suggest that the bankers suggest that they contact SCORE. They may find us on the SBA website. They may find us on the SCORE.org website. But in any event, through a variety of factors, they contact our local office. They can do that either online or by telephone. It seems like we get a lot of most of our appointments are established by way of telephone call-ins, and we talk to the individual on the phone and try to get some immediate sense of what their needs are, and then we schedule an appointment accordingly. And then that individual is either comes to our main office at the Meadows Building, just off of Central Expressway, or they may go to one of our satellite offices, which typically are housed in an outlying Chamber of Commerce facility. And we have about 17 satellite offices scattered around the Dallas area. We have a separate chapter that's headquartered in Fort Worth. So what I'll be talking about is just the Dallas chapter.
Okay. So, again, you have two chapters, but I guess in the sense of your two separate cities. You have one in Dallas, one have in Fort Worth. And just tell me a little bit more what you guys do in the Dallas office.
Okay. In the Dallas office itself, we have office hours 5 days a week from 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. And we typically schedule appointments to last about an hour. They sometimes last longer, sometimes not as long. But ordinarily what would happen is a client will come in and sit down with a mentor, or sometimes we try to have, if we have the people available, we'll have two mentors talk to one client. We found that kind of dialogue is much more effective, because we can kind of play each other off one another and have a much more effective dialogue with the client in that setting. But our role primarily, at least in the initial interview, is to learn as much as we can about the reason that client has come to see us. And if I'm the interviewer, if I'm the mentor that's involved, I will just simply ask the client to tell me his or her story. Just tell me everything you can think of that would be of value for me to be able to respond. And then once I've heard the story, what I try to do is to ask myself a fundamental question, and that is, knowing what I know now about this particular situation and thinking about my professional experience as well as my life experience, what would I do if I were in that same situation? And then I try to develop the conversation along those lines. But it's not our role, at least in my opinion anyway, to try to impart upon our clients how smart we are. We've got plenty of brain power in our organization, but what I think our primary role is to let the client know early on that we're there for them. We care deeply about the outcome of whatever they're trying to accomplish. And we're going to devote whatever energy and resources we can to try to make that happen. But mainly what we're trying to do is to let them know that we are coaches. We are not doers. We are expecting the clients to take on the burden of whatever they need to do to make their business successful. And our role is mainly to try to guide them through that process.
Okay. So mainly they can come as many times as they want, or they can call you and say, hey, how do you refer them? How do I make a financial statement? What's the best program? Do you guys give them advice of how to keep their accounting, how to structure their business, or what's kind of advise them with the best option for them?
We do all of those things, and we do that in the context of we try to create an atmosphere of teamwork, uh-huh. where the client is essentially telling us what he or she is trying to accomplish, and we respond by essentially coaching the client through that process. If it's the development, for example, of a financial model, a cash flow projection, or a projection of what their anticipated revenue and expenses will be for the next 3 years, for example, we refer them to some online resources that we have that will allow them to begin to start building a financial model, and we coach them through that process. If they're not comfortable with, for example, with working with Excel worksheets, and some people aren't, believe it or not, then we will kind of work with them as to what they need to be thinking about, explain the worksheets in the context of the practical application, not that you're being asked to just simply fill in a bunch of blanks, but these worksheets have utility in terms of the story that they tell after the information has been entered. And so we try to keep this more not in the exercise of preparing a spreadsheet, but in terms of what that spreadsheet is going to tell them when they get done with it.
Okay.
And that's one example. We also talk to people about what type of business entity might make the most sense in their particular situations, and we even though we do not as in the ordinary course of counseling anyway get beyond the conceptual aspects of what type of business entity makes the most sense, depending upon what their objectives are. But we do have on our staff an attorney who is knowledgeable about formation of business entities under Texas law. And so if it gets to the point where SCORE can be a resource to help someone incorporate or form a limited liability company or a partnership entity, then our staff attorney would be in a position to be able to assist in that.
Wow. And all those services are free?
That's right.
Wow.
Free and confidential.
Free and confidential. Wow, that's That's a good package there. So even with if the staff attorney does the articles of incorporation or partnership, basically they would do the legal paperwork and then tell them to go and file it. That's how it usually works.
I think we actually, our staff attorney actually physically files the documents once everything has been put together. There is a filing fee involved in any submission to the Texas Secretary of State's office.
Mm-hmm.
And so the client, the client does have to provide the financial resources to pay any fees that would be required in the application process. But other than that, I think the physical submission of the documents, I believe, is something that our staff attorney typically would do. And if he doesn't, then he puts himself in the position of coaching the client as to what needs to be done as far as the actual filing with the Secretary of State's office.
Wow, that is really an awesome deal. To have an attorney to do it free of charge and just file it for you. All you got to do is just pay the state fees involved. When it comes to, I guess, creating a balance sheet, and as you mentioned earlier that they had to put the information in, how involved you guys get in with financial statements? You go back and say, hey, this makes sense, that makes sense, or I know years ago when we were doing packaging of dealing with loans, basically we ask them to bring in the bank statements because you have a startup who mixed their personal finances with their business financing as a sole proprietorship, and we had to go there and kind of advise them how to extract, okay, here's your business, here's your personal, keep that separate. With that information there, if they come with you with a bank statement, hey, it has all my deposits, all my withdrawals, do you actually kind of advise them, hey, take this out, this goes here in this column, this goes here in this column, and so forth? Or how involved do you get with the financials?
Well, what we would probably try to do would be to encourage them to, first of all, establish a formal bookkeeping system, and there's any number of commercial software packages that we typically refer them to. We try not to make recommendations, because that's really not something that we at SCORE are comfortable in doing. And I think if you dig far enough back into our bylaws, you probably find some prohibition against making specific recommendations about commercial products. But but we do refer people to various commercial bookkeeping software programs and encourage them to get started with a bookkeeping process with our coaching. Once again, it's a matter of us trying to work with them and to help them become more comfortable with the business tools that they really need to run their business on a day-to-day basis. At the same token, we strongly recommend that as they are able financially, they need to avail themselves of resources beyond SCORE.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I always emphasize is for that client to establish a relationship with someone who is in the business of bookkeeping and financial reporting services. It doesn't have to be a CPA, but the most important thing that needs to happen is that there needs to be a very strong relationship between the client and the service provider so that over time they begin to work as a team. And I emphasize the fact that, you're gonna pay a fee for what you get, and the important thing to remember is that you get what you pay for. And so establish an ongoing relationship with someone who is going to be with you today, tomorrow, the next day, the next year, and can provide the kind of assistance that you might need as far as ultimately presenting financial statements to a prospective lender or a prospective investor. We can coach you about these things, but we would encourage you really to take on the ownership of that particular task. And if you need help, then you need to be looking for someone who will charge you a fee. But more likely than not, you're going to get more value than in service than what you're paying out in fees if you have the right kind of relationship. And so that again is something where we don't make recommendations of such service providers, but we encourage our clients to begin to establish that kind of a relationship. The same would be true in the area of working with a competent independent insurance agent as far as their insurance needs are concerned, or finding a competent business attorney that will help them with matters like evaluating contracts and entering into contractual arrangements with third parties that really do need the expertise of an attorney who specializes in those kinds of legal matters. So it's really from the very get-go encouraging our clients to seek those kinds of long-term relationships with service providers who become part of their team as they go forward and with their business endeavor.
Okay, great. In mentoring, I know there's been some programs last year from Goldman Sachs and from American Express and helping small businesses kind of mentor and kind of cultivate them in order to make them a little bit better. Have you guys have been involved with any of those programs with Goldman Sachs and American Express in those programs?
I don't have any firsthand experience with either of those that you've mentioned. I do know that there are some initiatives throughout our organization to work with people like Goldman Sachs, American Express, and other service organizations who are very interested in establishing a strategic alliance with SCORE. To provide services to clients of those organizations who are also SCORE clients. I was treated to a presentation not too long ago by a representative from, I believe it was Massachusetts Mutual. It was one of the big life insurance organizations that has a lot of financial products that are really intended to be lifetime type products and used for a variety of purposes, and that presentation was specifically focused on how we at SCORE could work with the service providers at Massachusetts Mutual for the ultimate benefit of Mass Mutual clients who would be able to utilize some of their financial products. So those kinds of alliances do exist. I just don't have any firsthand experience with working with the local Goldman Sachs or American Express people.
Okay, great. For a business to contact you, can you provide your address and website and telephone number there for your SCORE office in Dallas?
The default would be to contact the Dallas office of SCORE, and I'm sorry to say I don't have that number off the top of my head. If someone wanted to contact me directly, and I would certainly welcome that direct contact. They can reach me at area code 940-725-3395, or they can contact me by email at fogcpa@aol.com.
Okay. And I have a business card here from Pat, one of the counselors there. I think the number there for Dallas is 214-987-9491, and you're located in the Meadows Building, 5646 Milton Street, Suite 303, Dallas, Texas, 75206. And the website is www.dallas-score-22.org. Or then go to the local, go to sba.gov and look for their local chapter of SCORE in their local market. But thank you for providing the information. She just handed it to me.
Okay, well, Tim, I would also extend my thanks to Pat for providing that information for you, so that it's good that you were equipped.
Okay, great. On certification with the Small Business Administration, do you guys actually have involved with a business owner who wants to be certified as a minority business, a woman-owned business, or so forth? Do you get involved?
We would be able to respond to that particular opportunity, and we would probably do it in a sort of a team approach. We would encourage the client to take the initiative to do what needs to be done as far as the application process is concerned, and then we would coach them through that application process with any guidance that they actually need. But it is something that not only would we do, we would welcome the opportunity to do that, because that is probably the heart and soul of what the SBA does. And so, you know, as a resource partner of the SBA, this would be something that we would be happy to respond to. I personally have not had a lot of experience in talking to clients about any of the special certification processes, but I'm comfortable that we would be able to respond to that, because it is really a matter of looking at the application documentation and then helping the client to respond to the various questions and to provide whatever information is needed. So to me, that's a very natural part of our coaching process.
Okay. Moving from startup to now the small business that's under $100 million, do you have any really, not really medium-sized businesses, well, small businesses that who's been in business for a while who has an issue they really can't solve, either in sales or some other issue or management? Do you get a lot of those, or you just get a lot of people who, from the startup phase, come into you guys?
We don't really have, at least as far as my personal experience is concerned, we don't really have a lot of clients who have been in existence for a while who come to us with special issues. But I do know that those have occurred. Many times it's a situation where a client has reached a point in their maturity that necessitates some additional decision making as far as how they're going to go to the next level. And I know in the sports world you often hear references to the next level, but in the business world what that means is that an organization has essentially reached a plateau in their business maturity where they really need to sit down and basically go through another business plan exercise and say, okay, we're now at this level of sales, and we've got this many employees, and if we're going to continue to grow and take advantage of opportunities that exist in the marketplace, then we need to go through this planning process as if we were starting all over again, but with obviously the knowledge base that we have, because we have been in business for a while. And so occasionally we do get an opportunity to talk to clients about their fresh approach to writing a business plan and going through another financial modeling exercise to kind of see what this business is going to look like if all these assumptions were to come to pass. And so we do get involved in those kinds of situations from time to time. We also talk to clients who who have experienced some cash flow difficulties. Perhaps one of the more common things that happens, and this is something that I've had some personal counseling experience on, are people who come in to talk to us about the fact that they've kind of reached a point in their relationship with their other stakeholders, where there may be a time or an opportunity to have a separation, and have each one of the stakeholders go their separate ways. And what does that mean as far as some kind of a financial settlement? And this is not so much in the matter of the legalities of the financial settlement as it is in the economics of the financial settlement. And how does one go about placing a value on the business and making an offer to buy out another stakeholder, or perhaps all the other stakeholders, depending upon what the objectives are, and how's that going to be financed, and what are the economic consequences of trying to accomplish that. So these are some of the, shall we say, growing pains kind of issues that we run into from time to time.
Okay, great. What do you think are the challenges today with small businesses? I know the economy is getting a lot stronger and better. One person said, and one time he said, really, it doesn't really matter, I guess, if you're passionate with your ideas and you're good at executing, you can really overcome anything. Any particular challenges besides that one you just mentioned that small businesses come into score or are faced with?
Well, I think that I'll just go back to a statistic that I've heard on more than one occasion to start with. And this is not the total answer that I'm going to try to give you, but I've seen a statistic that says that more small businesses fail because they run out of money than for any other reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because they've got a bad product or a bad concept. It's because they just simply run out of money. And so one of the biggest challenges that I think we see in the small business community today is not having adequate financial resources to be able to respond to the opportunities that they have. This arises from perhaps a couple of core issues. One is that in today's lending environment, it's still extremely difficult for a small business operator to be able to find the finance the conventional financing that's necessary to be able to conduct business in a meaningful way. That's not to say that it's impossible, but it's difficult, and therein lies the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very important for the small business operator to make sure that their books and records are always up to date, that their financial reporting process is sufficiently sophisticated so that they can respond to any banker's request for financial information in a very timely way. These are areas where we could certainly be of assistance, but also I think it involves the kind of relationship that I described earlier, where the entrepreneur has a trusted financial advisor who would be able to assist in the preparation of financial information that would be necessary to be of not only interest but also informative to a prospective lender. There are other areas that I think are extremely important as far as the challenges of small business today, and one is that those small business entrepreneurs have customers who are also in financial challenges, and so managing cash flow also entails making sure that accounts receivable are collected in a timely manner, and that proper understandings are reached with customers who have fallen behind in their obligations to pay the vendor, i.e., the client that we're trying to serve. And so there's an extremely strong emphasis on adequate communication between the service providers, product and service providers, and their customers to make sure that expectations are met with regard to timely collection of accounts receivable and timely payment of accounts payable. And here again, this gets back to a cash flow issue and a cash management issue. But these are the gears that run small business, managing cash and making sure there's enough cash to be able to respond to opportunities.
Okay. With loans and grants in general, I know they can go to the local bank to try to get a loan, try to get, you know, something under the SBA. Is the SBA today, I know in the past they used to lend direct, do you know offhand, are they still doing that? Or are they just mainly all of those type products are done now by banks?
Well, it's my understanding that the SBA does not make any direct loans.
Okay.
The SBA works primarily as a guarantor of conventional loans that meet whatever criteria they are required for various SBA guaranteed loan programs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably at least a half a dozen of them. I'm not conversing on the details of each one, but
okay.
the typical approach that we recommend to our clients if they want to look for an SBA guaranteed loan is to start a dialogue with a banker, and to have the banker essentially lead them through the maze of various SBA loan guarantee options that may be available in the particular circumstances. And so start with a conversation with a commercial banker who participates in various SBA guaranteed loan programs and see what the requirements are and then respond to those requirements and hopefully at the end of the day there will be a meaningful and positive outcome.
Okay.
As far as other types of financial assistance are concerned, generally speaking, a for-profit organization is not going to qualify for any type of traditional government grant. But having said that, I am aware that there are economic development programs that are sponsored by various municipalities throughout the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex, for example, that will be responsive to requests for grants in their particular areas of interest, provided that the applicant has the ability to meet whatever requirements that may be present for an economic development grant. And typically, these would be situations where a business is going to try to get established in a community, and they're looking for some financial assistance from that economic development agency in that community. And what they have to be able to do is to demonstrate that the establishment of that business in that community is going to add to and enhance the economic development of that community, either by way of hiring people and paying them fair and honest wages, or by purchasing goods and services from other businesses that are established in that particular community. And if all those attributes are present, then there's at least a possibility that there might be some grant money available from the economic development agency in that community to assist in the expansion or even in the creation of a business that would operate in that particular community.
Okay. Any particular programs or that you can name in particular, for example, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that might apply for this particular thing you're talking about?
Well, I've had a conversation with at least one client about trying to apply for a grant in the with the City of DeSoto Economic Development Agency, and
okay.
I've had some conversations with other colleagues referred to similar programs in other communities. But it's my understanding that there are a lot of communities in the Dallas area that have these types of funding vehicles that are available if all of the criteria are met. And my suggestion to someone would be if you're looking to start a business in DeSoto, for example, that you should contact the head of the Economic Development Agency there and start a dialogue and find out what's going to be required in order to meet their requirements. Same thing would be true with the City of Garland or the City of Dallas or whoever, wherever that business is going to be established.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do believe that these agencies are more prevalent than one might think.
Okay, great. And those are, I know in the past there used to be some programs called incubators these are part of that type of grant programs that is offered.
Well, my understanding of the concept of an incubator is that this is a group of business people who are available to try to assist a prospective business, much in the same way that angel investors or other types of financing organizations would be available, and once again, it's a matter of trying to ascertain whether or not the prospective business meets the criteria of whatever the incubator organization would mandate, as
okay.
far as the incubator organization having an interest. I don't want to sound too cynical, but in some respects, it's like it's a corollary to the golden rule, and that is that he or she who has the gold makes the rules. And so, if you're going to be talking to someone to an organization that has financial resources that they would make available in the right circumstances, then you pretty much have to be prepared to play by whatever rules they hand down.
Okay.
And those could vary, but it's not. It is clearly a case where the organization, the incubator organization, or the angel investor group, or whoever it is, are going to be making some fairly specific and pointed mandates about how things are going to be done.
Okay, great. Now, if they need some assistance in putting a proposal together, like a business plan and so forth, they can come to your agency and you can kind of help guide them in order to get that done as well.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And typically what we try to do is to provide some examples. And there are any number of examples that are available online as far as that goes. And we encourage people to go to a website that might be known as business plans, .com or whatever the particular tool is that's available online, and as I say, there are a lot of them. And look and see what's there, and try to get some kind of an understanding of what a business plan looks like. And interestingly enough, some of these business plans read like a Tolstoy novel, and we try to encourage people not to. To try to develop a novel type business plan, but rather write the plan from the point of view of not who's going to read it, but who's going to use it, and the user is going to be the client.
That's all.
So put in your business plan some very essential elements, and typically those would be things like who am I, What kind of product or service am I going to offer to the public? Why is that product or service going to be of interest to the public? What sort of value would it add? What kind of barriers are there to, as far as competition barriers of entry into that particular business? How much is it going to cost to get this business started? What kind of financial expectations should I have? And one of the things that we always encourage our clients to do when they're doing a financial model is to make sure that they put something in there for themselves. And I mean, sometimes that sort of states the obvious, but at the end of the day, if a prospective entrepreneur is going to justify whatever they're doing from an entrepreneurial standpoint, that justification has to include what kind of return they're going to get for their effort that goes into this, and all that really needs to be incorporated into a very well conceived business plan that's not written for the enjoyment of the reader so much as it is written for the purposes of the writer. And the writer is going to use that as a basis for making a very fundamental decision. Is this business viable or is it not?
Okay, great. That's some great advice. I guess the last few things real quick about the on your local website. I think SCORE main website is score.org. And then they can type in the zip code and they can get the local office of SCORE that they can go to. But on your website for Dallas in particular, you have a list of workshops. Look like you hold every month. Can you tell us about these workshops?
The workshop that's referred to at this particular point in time on our Dallas website is an 8-hour Saturday workshop that covers a variety of topics, and it's. The theme of this is how to start a small business.
Okay.
And these topics are broken down into presentations of probably anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes, depending upon the topic, that are made by SCORE counselors. Usually the first section in the morning is a discussion of how to write a business plan. And many of the comments that come out of that are very similar to what I just said in my comments about business plan writing.
Okay.
The next section is usually a discussion of how to obtain funds, and that's an area that at this particular point in our national economic cycle is a very difficult topic to cover because the truth of the matter is there aren't a lot of options available. We typically focus more on non-traditional sources of financing, which would include angel investors and incubators, but also friends and family and other potential stakeholders who are interested in trying to help launch a business. After that section is done, then we have a discussion of bookkeeping, record keeping, financial reporting, cash flow management is kind of an all-in-one exercise in the financial side of the business. And then we have a section on marketing, advertising. Some of that discussion is more oriented towards traditional marketing concepts, but it also covers things like Facebook accounts and other social media tools that are more state-of-the-art 21st century techniques that many people are using. Then we have a section on franchising. In many cases, a franchise is a franchising concept will work either from the point of view of somebody who's trying to start a business and wants to buy a franchise, or it might also work in the case of someone who's trying to start a business and may ultimately think about becoming a franchisor in the future. And so this is about a 45-minute presentation that it covers everything that I think that most people who are trying to start a business would want to know as far as the franchising concept is concerned. Mm-hmm. Then the next section is a presentation by our staff attorney who talks about the various forms of business entities that may be involved in conducting a business. And then the last section of the day is a 45-minute or so presentation on income taxes. Or I shouldn't say income taxes. I should say federal taxes, which also includes Texas payroll taxes and franchise taxes as well. And this is a module that sometimes I teach. Mm-hmm. And I've found it to be very interesting that our participants, after having sat through all these various presentations over the course of the day, still have something left in their tank to be very actively participating in a dry subject like taxes. And so that's our Saturday workshop program. At the present time, we're also involved in developing a series of additional seminars and workshops jointly with various chambers of commerce in the Dallas area. Not all of the chambers of commerce in the Dallas area have stepped up at this point and expressed their interest in participating, but we do have a core group of, I think, about five chambers that we're working with to develop jointly a series of seminars and workshops that will be maybe a little bit more specific, a little bit more focused on certain areas of expertise, rather than sort of a collage of things that people need to be aware of, which is the essence of our Saturday workshop program. So these are things that are in development stage now. We hope to be able to start launching some of these programs in the early summer of this year, and I would encourage people to stay tuned for further developments on that point.
Great. Now, this particular workshop that you have, How to Start and Manage a Small Business, it has a little small fee, $50, but there's only a few programs.
That's correct.
Only a few programs.
$50 per person, and that gets you a exposure to the various aspects of doing business that I just described.
Okay. And also on your website, you have a speaker bureau. I mean, basically, you can request a speaker to come and speak to you. Your function? That's how that set up?
Yes, that's a perfect way to describe what our speakers bureau is, and we encourage anyone who is interested in having a presentation on a topic to contact us, and we'll through our group of counselors locally. We will respond to that request and provide the expertise that is needed in order to make that an effective presentation.
Okay. And can you name a couple of topics that you can ask the speaker to talk to you, and who they go to, or churches or schools or?
Well, I personally participated in a presentation to a school class. This goes back almost 2 years ago now, but three other colleagues and I went to a school and discussed to the members of that particular business class. First of all, what we did as SCORE counselors and what our backgrounds were. And then we answered questions from the group of students that were burning on their hearts on that particular day, things that pertain to business concepts as they would understand them from a student's perspective. We had one individual recently that made a presentation to an Islamic trade association in the area, and we have this Saturday another thing that we do. And it's really not quite so much in the Speakers Bureau genre as it is just in the area of community service. We're going to provide a group of SCORE mentors to be judges in some competition that is being conducted by the Future Business Leaders of America, which is another high school event. Mm-hmm. And we're going to participate as judges in such things as business plan writing and making financial decisions at the middle management level. Just by way of an example, a hypothetical middle manager has been given an annual budget of let's say $500,000 to operate his or her department. What would that person do as far as effectively deploying that $500,000 budget and getting the most benefit out of it from a strategic standpoint? And so we're going to be judging that type of competition. So we're very much a community service organization, as you might imagine from what I've said. Mm-hmm. But we try to respond to any opportunity to branch out into other maybe non-traditional areas of community service where we can really make a difference in the outcomes for those organizations. However, we may be able to do that. We're blessed. We have something like, I think, 55 people on our roster in Dallas, in the Dallas chapter right now, and there are just an incredible array of personal backgrounds that are all brought to bear on any opportunity that we have to be of service to the community, to be of service to anyone who we possibly can respond to.
Okay. Last couple of things. That also, if a person who's interested in volunteering with your organization, they can volunteer, and basically by filling out a form on the website, and do they come in for an interview? And
well, we certainly would encourage people to contact us and to step up as volunteers by going onto our website, but by the same token, if someone were interested in volunteering, they could call the number that you provided earlier.
Okay.
And just say, I'm interested in being a SCORE volunteer. Who do I need to talk to? And we can make that happen.
Perfect.
We have the capability of responding either way. And the truth of the matter is, the response time is probably faster if somebody calls or writes to the Dallas chapter office and makes it known that they're interested rather than going through the national website.
Okay, I follow. Great.
And I don't mean that in any derogatory way. It's just it seems like it happens a lot faster that way. I have had personal experiences where on the days that I've been in the office in Dallas, the phone's rung, and it's someone who said, I'm calling to see about becoming a volunteer. And I get their contact information. We have an individual in our group who is our, for lack of a better term, our human resources coordinator, and that individual then contacts the caller, and the dialogue starts, and we go from there.
Okay. Any particular qualifications for a volunteer? Or they just...
Well, I would say the main qualification is that someone comes to us with business experience. It doesn't have to be any particular type of business experience. There's no limitation on age. I mentioned at the very beginning of this interview my recollections of reading about the Service Corps of Retired Executives, which is now known as SCORE. We have people in our organization who are not retired, but they do have some time that's available that they want to give back to the community. Some of these people are encouraged by their employers to give time back to the community, so we have some of those people on our roster. Retired executives. We have other people who are self-employed that are in a position to to be able to give something back to the community while they're still actively employed. And I will say that in those particular situations, we have some very, very specific and strict rules of conduct that are imposed on our volunteers, whereby a volunteer can never utilize his position as a volunteer or her position as a volunteer to try to develop more business for himself or herself in his or her chosen profession. So that there's a there are rules of conduct that we abide by that hopefully are not going to result in a conflict of interest anywhere along the way, because any activity that we do as SCORE counselors, we're doing on behalf of SCORE and not on behalf of ourselves.
Oh, Father, great. Lastly, since you are a 501c3 organization, you also accept cash and in-kind gifts that are tax deductible. And usually those type of donations, I mean, it says on the website, normally goes to any particular cost or
Well, I think I'm not totally conversant about this, but we have as part of the SCORE organization, I think there's an organization called SCORE Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would encourage people to do would be to go on the SCORE Foundation website and determine what they need to do to make direct contributions to the SCORE Foundation. But any contribution that's made either to the SCORE Foundation or to SCORE itself would be a charitable contribution, which would be deductible for federal income tax purposes as such, as a charitable contribution. As far as the mechanics are concerned, I would say that probably it should be done via the national organization, either SCORE or SCORE, the SCORE Foundation, as opposed to, let's say, if somebody walked into our office at the Meadows Building and said, I'm here to make a $10,000 contribution to SCORE, will you accept my check? Well, the answer would be, sure, we'll accept your check. And then we would then have to go through whatever channels need to go through so that would be properly recognized, not only from the point of view of our internal finances, but also so that the donor would get proper credit for that.
Absolutely. Okay. Anything you'd like to add? I mean, I really appreciate you talking for a little. I mean, just right at an hour. We meant to start only for 30 minutes, but anything you'd like to close with?
Well, I think that this is going to be kind of a personal note, and I may have alluded to it earlier, but one of the reasons that I responded to the opportunity that I responded to in the fall of 2009 was that I saw SCORE as being a perfect vehicle for me to accomplish something that I've had on my bucket list for a long time, and that's to give something back to the community. And I think that for an individual who has a desire to give back and to make a difference in people's lives, and who has the business background, whether it be the kind of background I have as a lifelong CPA or whether it's as a corporate executive, but to have that kind of mission in his or her life, then there's no, I don't believe, any better vehicle to do that than SCORE. And the biggest reason for that is because every day is a new day with SCORE. You never know what kind of challenges you're going to be able to respond to. Those challenges are as diverse as the clients that we serve, and it's just, to me, it's just a lot of fun. And I really believe that we are making a difference, one client at a time.
Wow. I really appreciate the time. I appreciate your time. Appreciate you agreeing to come onto the show. To contact the local SCORE office there in Dallas, again, the number is 214-987-9491. They're located in the Meadows Building, 5646 Milton Street, Suite 303, Dallas, Texas, 75206. You can also get information by SCORE at score.org, the SCORE Foundation, scorefoundation.org. This has been a production by Apple Capital Group. You can take a look at our website, blog.applecapitalgroup, or, again, continue to listen to this broadcast on blogtalkradio.com/Apple Capital Group. Again, Ken Falk, thank you for your time and all your wealth of information. I really appreciate you joining us.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and I thank you for the opportunity to tell the SCORE story.
Great. I really appreciate it, and have a great day. Thank you so much.
Okay, you too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.